When a chaotic situation makes a mess of your life, it's natural to run for cover. Victims need a shelter. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues his study in Joshua chapter 20. In this passage, we read about the provision of designated cities that were set aside as sanctuaries. They were called cities of refuge. Well, at the church where Chuck is senior pastor, it's common to include a congregational prayer before Chuck begins his sermon. And so today, we join with them as Chuck petitions God for safety in the war-torn regions of our world.
We pause this day, our Father, to remember those dear people who are watching their country overrun. We ask that you would step in and cease the war. Stop the killing. Do what only you can do, and that is to bring peace in the midst of conflict. We pray that you will do this soon rather than later. Give comfort to those whose families are separated, whose homes are destroyed, whose land is being desolated by invading troops. We ask that you would be for them their refuge and their hope. Speak to us through this chapter that I've read, that it might speak in such a way that its relevance will reveal just how God's word addresses us in whatever age in which we live. We trust you, Lord, for the outcome. And now, our Father, I pray that you will minister to us in the rest of our time together, that we might realize your sovereign hand over us and your care for us, and give us once again a heart of gratitude for what you provide for us as a people, as a church, as a nation. By your grace, in the name of Christ, we pray. Everyone said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the book of Joshua with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insight.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck titled, Needed, a Safe Place to Heal.
Christ wants his church to be a fellowship where people can come in and say, I'm sunk, I'm beat, I've had it. You know what we need? You know what folks are looking for without calling it by name? A refuge. Interesting, we don't use that word much. A refuge. I stumbled upon Psalm 31 recently, and I've found someone that all of us have heard of, but we've not seen him in this particular situation that often. He's a king. He's a composer of songs. His name is David. We read that right at the top. Notice that the Psalm 31, look in your Bible, it's a psalm, it's a song, the word means song, that's dedicated to the choir director for whatever reason, and is composed by David. See, we're not even told why he wrote it until we get into the song. Lord, I've come to you for refuge. When the ancient warriors among the Hebrews fought They fought out in the open with spears and arrows and shields, and it was tough warfare. Sometime the Hebrews would be outnumbered and overrun, and on the hillside they would look for a huge boulder that would hide behind or hide under if they were wounded and the enemy was coming toward them. The old boulder was called a chasa. It was their secret place. Hopefully the enemy wouldn't see them as they rushed past. That's what he's looking for. Lord, I need you to be the place where I can hide for a little bit of time. He goes on to say, don't let me be disgraced. There's shame in that word. When we feel ashamed, we are especially vulnerable and secretive. There aren't too many people we feel safe to share shameful news with. You're always safe with the Lord. David felt safety, and he said, don't let me feel this so deeply. Save me, for you do what is right. Turn your ear, look at this, to listen to me. He just needed to talk. Sometimes that's the most helpful way to get the stuff out that's plaguing us, that's haunting us. It's been said you don't get past grief until you fully express it. Grief isn't resolved in silence. You need to talk it out. You need to say it. You need to get it out. You need a place of refuge to do that. David found it in the Lord. And you might wonder what it was that was plaguing the old king. Look at verse 9. When you begin to read through the psalm, you come across reasons in verses 9, 10, and 11. Give us three reasons. I want you to see them. The man is out of crutches. He's in trouble, whatever the trouble may be. He needs a safe place to recover and heal. And look at what he says, verse 9. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in distress. Tears blur my eyes, my body, and my soul are withering away. First, he needs a refuge because he's in distress and sorrow surrounds him. He even admits that he's crying. David says, my eyes are blurred from tears. So because of sorrow, he's surrounded by all of this inner pain. Look at the next verse. I'm dying from grief. It might be rendered guilt. My years are shortened by sadness. Sin has drained my strength. I'm wasting away from within. Ah, there's the next reason. He's done something sinful. Doesn't tell us which one. Doesn't tell us what it is. The Lord knew, and he said, because of sin, guilt is accusing me. That's tough stuff. F.B. Meyer put it better than probably anybody I've read. This is the bitterest of all, to know that suffering need not have been, that it is the result of indiscretion, inconsistency, and neglect, that it is the harvest of one's own sowing, that the vulture which feeds on the vitals is a nestling of one's own rearing. Ah, me, this is pain. Sometimes you feel so guilty you can't hold your head up. You can't face your partner in life. You can't even talk to your children. So he turns to the Lord in his distress, in his sinfulness. There's another, verse 11. I am scorned by all my enemies and despised by my neighbors. There it is. Always a few to wag their heads. Always a few to add to your guilt. Because I have adversaries, criticism assaults me. You can read in verses 11, 12, and 13 how they surfaced. Look for yourself. He's scorned by his enemies. He's despised by his neighbors. That's ridicule. His friends are afraid of him, and they run to the other side of the street when they see him coming. That's rejection. That's real cancel culture. Those who had been my brothers and sisters want nothing to do with me. And I've heard the rumors of many. They're in the street now. That's gossip. That's a killer. Always exaggerated, never based on truth. Always goes further than the truth really is. I'm surrounded by terror. People conspire against me. That's threat. I mean, he's in deep, deep trouble. He needs a refuge. That's why we need a safe place. Now, for a moment, if you will, shift gears. Go back to Joshua 20 and try to imagine being an individual out in the open where they lived who accidentally killed another person. Unintentional, unpremeditated, but as a result of this accident, he died. The family of the deceased find out you're the one who took his life. You didn't mean to, but they're out to get you. And when they find you, they're going to finish you off. In this world of a life for a life, a tooth for a tooth, except God in grace provided places where people could escape to and be safe. Now stay with me. There's more here than Hebrew history. There were actual cities. As Joshua and his troops settled in the land of Canaan and he dispersed, he divided the land among the tribes. The Lord reminded him, don't forget what was set up. Even in the days of Moses, there are to be actual cities, six of them. There are to be cities of chasah, cities of refuge. They're to give a person who is a fugitive running for his life a hop ahead of the hounds, hoping to get there before the relatives find him, that he might be safe. They're even named for us. They're unusual names, aren't they? Kadesh, Shechem, Kiriath Arba, Bezer, Ramoth, Golan. Strategically placed. Merrill F. Unger, in his fine dictionary, helps us understand a little about getting to them. He writes, according to the rabbins, in order to aid the fugitive, it was the business of the Sanhedrin to keep the roads leading to the cities of refuge in the best possible repair. No hills were left. Every river was bridged. And the road itself was to be at least 32 cubits wide. That's about 48 feet, these roads. At every turn were guideposts bearing the word refuge. Maybe there was an arrow. In our day, there probably would have been. Refuge. And two students of the law were appointed to accompany the fleeing man to pacify, if possible, the avenger should he overtake the fugitive. Can you imagine how distraught you would be emotionally having had this happen and having no protection apart from a place like this? Can you imagine how rapidly you'd want to get there? And once he would come inside the gate, he would be met by the Levites, whose council would meet, would hear his case, listen to his story, and they would judge the merits of his story and provide for him a place where he could live. As long as the high priest lives, he could live there. And when the high priest died, he could leave and go back to his hometown, safe, having been given this place of refuge. Those within the city, get this, I've made note, had a willingness to go the distance with the person. They had an attitude of loving compassion rather than judgment. They were available to help in practical and tangible ways. And they were committed to the restoration of the person on the run. Sounds like a missionary friend of ours from the Insight for Living ministry, Zygmunt Korel in Poland, let us know recently that he was leaving to drive several hundred miles to the border and bring a family home with him. He didn't know what family, but it was a family in need, of course, waiting at the border for hope, someone to love them and hold them close as they endured the shock and the dread, the possibility of losing their country, their home, maybe even their own husband and father. I've said all along that when I'm teaching Joshua, I'm not interested that you're able to repeat back by memory things like the cities of refuge. I don't care if you ever memorize those places. I don't really mind if you couldn't turn to this chapter and explain it to someone else in great detail. Hopefully you could give the overview of it. But I do care very much that you would understand its application. There aren't such cities today, obviously. Oh, we have sanctuary cities, but don't go there. Don't go there. It's nothing to do with that. We have hearts of refuge. It starts there. You know what we really have? Churches. Think about it. Back to my opening line, where do people go when they hit bottom? Do they go to the police station? Probably not. Do they go to the school, local school near them? Not there. Do they go to the civic center? No. Do they go to a city park? No. Do they go to the mall? No. They come to a church. Yes. I will tell you, when the Lord led us to found Stonebriar Community Church, one of our goals was that we would become people of compassion and comfort. One of the great preachers of yesteryear, named John Henry Jowett, was asked toward the end of his ministry, if you had your ministry to do over, what essentials would you emphasize? And he said, I don't need plural, it's singular will do it. Essentials, no, but the essential I would emphasize would be compassion. I would care more. That would include listening better, judging less. Still discerning, of course, but having hearts that are able to be touched and even broken. Having an available room in my home where an unwed mother can live till she has her baby and can adopt the baby out, as we did for 4 different unwed mothers. I mention that only because we had 4 kids when we did that. It was no sacrifice. That's part of caring. We learned a lot in that time. Have you ever done that? You know, I think I'm talking to the choir here. I've never known a more generous church than our church, honestly. I'm not blowing smoke on you. I really mean this. Every time we ask for an offering for any need, you give more than we expected. We're so grateful for that. Every time we announce that we're gonna pack for Feed My Starving Children, the atrium is filled with people. I love that. I mean, I came to see how the turnout was, and I wound up with a hairnet and a bag of grain. I was all in the middle of the mix right there. We take food to hungry people weekly. We should. We're a place of refuge. Let me dig a little deeper. Is your adult fellowship a place of refuge? Someone stumbles in and doesn't know the code language of the Christian life. Maybe has alcohol on their breath. Maybe has arms covered with tattoos. You have room for them, or do you shun them? Make room for them. Be grateful they would have the courage to come. They don't know our songs. They don't know our way of life. They're wanting to know. After all, there's a cross rather evident in this place of worship. That stands for it. The one who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God in him. I say this not as a rebuke, but as a challenge. Let your heart be touched. Don't be jaded because the southern border has been taken advantage of. Don't let that ruin your compassion. What's happening down there is wrong. Should not have ever gotten out of hand like that. It is, but that doesn't change your compassion, does it? The heartbreaking stories that are coming from Europe, you still sigh, don't you? Every once in a while, does it break your heart? I know it must. Have you allowed the culture to make you jaded, distant, suspicious, angry, brittle? Or do you still have room for the poor and the broken and the hungry, the abused, with no place to turn? Place to find healing and recovery, a place of refuge.
You can probably gather from Chuck Swindoll's comments that this message was delivered the week Russia invaded Ukraine. That ongoing travesty gives us a heart of compassion for those who suffer. And there's more teaching coming up here on Insight for Living. Chuck titled today's message, Needed, A Safe Place to Heal. It's message number 8 in a 9-part series titled Moving Ahead Together with a Winning Mindset. To go deeper in your studies on this engaging series or to learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. As a complement to the study on Joshua, Chuck Swindoll has selected another book for you to enjoy. It's written by his good friend and ministry colleague, Jonathan Murphy. The book is called Authentic Influencer, The Barnabas Way of Shaping Lives for Jesus. Moses and Joshua are renowned leaders, and you may not see yourself that way. But in reality, all of us are a leader to someone. Whether you're a parent, an aunt or uncle, perhaps a grandparent, there's someone in your life who looks up to you. This is a book that will show you how to impact those you love in an authentic, natural Barnabas way. To purchase a copy of Authentic Influencer, go to insight.org/store. And then bear in mind, it's your voluntary donations that make it possible for us to provide Chuck's teaching on your radio station, the internet, and the variety of different outlets that feature Insight for Living. In fact, Chuck's teaching can be accessed in faraway places, including Eastern Europe. To give a donation today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888. Or give online when you visit insight.org. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us when Chuck Swindoll continues his message about cities of refuge and the safe place for you and me to heal. That's next time on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Needed, A Safe Place to Heal, was copyrighted in 2022 and 2023, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.